G'day, Novacastrians, and welcome to another edition of the Jet Stream. Unfortunately, tonight I'm not going to be able to make the live pot up at the Director of Stats, Dave's house. I've been invited to a special screening of Rogue One by Harrison Ford after my 30 visits to the cinemas last year to see the new Star Wars. So I'm going to hand it over to Dave, and go Liverpool, Dave, hey?
Thanks, Burns. Really good to get a personal message from you explaining your absence tonight. I mean, it's just like you're here in person, but unfortunately you can't be. And I guess the lunatics are running the asylum tonight. Thank you, everyone, for joining us here on the Jetstream. We are on location in my house, and yep, the beers are flowing.
Literally.
The Jets win, and we'll talk about that in a second before I introduce everyone, but the Jets win on the weekend, taking them off the bottom, did ruin my my opening line, which was saying we are literally doing this from my basement, just like in memory of the Jets. But let's start off. Bodes, welcome Bodes to the podcast.
G'day, Dave. It was really nice of Grant to leave you a message and not me.
Well, mate, we weren't sure who was showing up, but it's been going back and forth for a couple of weeks, but you were one of the first people to jump on.
Mate, I love a trip to the basement, as it is. I get a bit sick of the Liverpool jerseys, but everything else is pretty cool.
There's a couple of Jets jerseys.
There are a couple of Jets jerseys.
Next up, we have Emma. Welcome.
Hi, hi.
All right, thank you for coming over.
Thank you for allowing me into the man cave.
You're all right. And Glenn.
Hello. How are you, mate?
Good, mate. Welcome to the No Glens Club. So you are the first Glen to arrive here today.
We're allowed to have one.
We are allowed to have one. Okay, opening question comes from down Sydney Way, from a long-time listener and regular contributor, Grant. It was going to be, when is the best time to have your Christmas party? But I've decided that we're going to change that up, and we're going to start with you, Emma. How many times is Ferns going to see Rogue One this year?
I'm going to go with all the times.
All the times.
All the time.
I'll drink to that.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, very good. Boats.
Is indefinite a number, but yeah. Emma's pretty well nailed it. Look, I reckon he needs to have lunch at some point, so I'm going to say he sees the morning and the night shift. So there you go, two a day. So
yeah, okay.
Two a day. And how long is it out for? Usually a month. So
yeah, well,
let's go 60 times.
Glenn, I'll ask you a different question. Are the rumours that Grant has actually now got a cleaning job at the cinemas true?
I'm not sure, but if the popcorn stains on his shirt or anything to go by, there could be some truth to that rumour.
Fair enough. For those listening, yes, he is sleeping in the corner of the cinemas overnight so that he can have a screening all to himself while the cinemas are off.
His own gold class.
So, yeah. All right. Very good. Well, enough of the shenanigans. Let's get down to the real business. And that real business is Beers with Bodes.
Yeah.
Bodes, you left us on Thursday night with beer number 8 from Holgate Brewhouse, and you gave that a 4.5.
That was a decent rating. Yeah,
the Hargrave Hill, mate, was 4.5 star. That's the best.
Yep.
Are we going to improve on that tonight?
We're not, mate, but we're going to get one very, very close competitor. But anyway, I'm going to start off with that. And may I also take note for the listeners that we're going to have a live tasting tonight for Beer 12, which I have on site ready with me to go. But anyway, yeah, we'll get to the drum roll soon. Day 9 was a Fancy Pants Amber Ale, which was made by Mountain Goat. It was a can, so it was one of the 4 cans.
Yeah, right.
Amber Ale, Spicy Fruits, and Tasmanian Galaxy. I'm a big Tasmanian Galaxy fan. Percentage was 5.2. Taste, now I've put here, very smooth, easy to drink, but no real flavour is touted. But I actually did enjoy it, so I gave it a rating out of 3 out of 5. But admittingly, there wasn't no real special flavour.
Those are playing at home as well. The Tasmanian Galaxy, do you think that could be a new name for an expansion team, Bodes?
Tell you what, it would look all right.
Very good.
Nice, Dave. You shook me off. Righto. Day 10 was an original Pilsner, and it was by Balmain Brewing Company. Highlights, 3 malts with a crisp finish. I've put crisp finish, but whether that's a tout to Chris Harrold scoring goals against us, it never happened. I don't know. Percentage was 4.5, and I put a simple Pilsner with no outstanding flavours, rating 2 out of 5. Unfortunately, I'm not a massive Pilsner fan, which I've I've said in the last pod. So yeah, 2 out of 5 for that one. Would not have again. And yesterday I had an extra pale ale, which was very difficult to have after our Christmas party on Saturday. So I did it. Good time to have the Christmas party. The 10th of December. yeah, it was an extra pale ale, and it was by Mismatch. Mismatch Brewing Company. Highlights, very strong pale ale with extra hops. Percentage 5.8. I've gone hops very present, and being a massive pale ale fan, very enjoyable. Rating 4 out of 5. So
very good.
Yeah, so I would truly recommend the extra pale ale by Mismatch to people. And
we're going to do the live one.
Beer 12. I don't know what it is. So
all right, here we go.
Here
people.
We go, guys.
Oh, how exciting.
It's a brown paper bag.
Is it a twist top or is it a...
No, it's a bottle. It's a bottle top. So we have...
Wait, so you read the label before you drink it?
Yeah.
It's not even a blind taste.
No, God, no.
Oh, this is rigged.
And we have...
Wow.
Ooh, we have...
A 2 weeks extra dry.
A 2 weeks old. Brought to you by 2 weeks. It is... The beer is called Hassle Sloth. And it is a West Coast IPA. 7.2%. Dave, this couch is looking pretty comfortable after one of Glenn's homebrews.
We're going to get on with Grog with Glenn in a sec.
Righto. Yeah, pure West Coast, big, bold, sexy. You'll feel like Elvis, only alive. So, and that this is by Merchant Brewing Co. So look for, I'll give you all a rundown of it at the end, I guess.
Yeah, no worries. You
keep,
enjoy that.
Keep it going, Director of Stats.
All right. So, as everyone's probably aware, the Jets made broke a hoodoo, an 11-year hoodoo over in the West, and defeating Perth Glory 2-1 with goals thanks to Andrew Hull and also a fantastic Oggy from Smil Junovic. And here are the highlights from Fox Sports.
Away they go to this right side. Harold not picked up. The shot is a wonderful, wonderful strike from the Boyshaw Marinkovic. Technically perfect from the serve. That is as good as it gets. Find the corner. Good work from Taggart initially just to protect the ball. Harold gets on a run. You can't stop him with his pace, but that's just intelligent as he cuts the ball back. And it sits nicely for Marinkovic to curl it into the far corner. Jack Duncan has got no chance. And really with Perth Glory's first attack, they've taken the lead.
His shadow Johnny Katrumbas, who's got the better of Taggart so far. But now the Jets have opened up the Glory. Hall again with another chance. This time he scores. And you'd have to say that is no more than Newcastle deserve.
And from there, Smiljanic switches off. He allows Hall in behind, and after criticising Hall for not being able to provide that final finish, he does. Slides it past Reddy, who might feel a little bit disappointed he didn't get a hand on it. But certainly Newcastle deserve that. And what a confidence booster for them as well.
Showed way too much of it to Vujica. Now Naboo. Naboo goes for a goal. Superb save from Reddy. And what a strike that was from Andrew Naboo. That was a pile driver. Naboo with a step over. And that could be an own goal. It is. A stroke of fortune for Newcastle. It might be Milan Smiljanic who's put that into his own net. It's been that sort of half for the Glory.
It's good again from Newcastle. Naboo squares up Williams. There's not many options in the box. Hall's arriving late. Smiljanic didn't need to go for that.
Newcastle, Vujica to Naboo. Klute. Looking for Naboo. Still with Andrew Naboo. Big save from Reddy. A double save from the goalkeeper. Newcastle could have put this one to bed. I've already mentioned the Glory back here in a week's time to play Sydney FC as Bromora beats the offside trap. Picks out Hull. Hull goes for goal. And yet another save from Liam Reddy.
Well, it's really good to listen back to those highlights again. Emma, how good was that?
All the goods.
Do you want to expand on that a bit further?
Yeah,
none of the bads.
It was oddly good because you didn't expect it to happen at all. Like, Okay, Mitchy Cooper did tip it, but even if the most faithful...
Joshy Mitchell.
Sorry, Joshy Mitchell. Sorry, sorry. We were just talking about Mitch Cooper. Sorry, Josh. He did tip it, but I don't think anyone believed that. Like, and, you know, that first couple of minutes, you're watching and thinking, oh, yeah, we're playing good. When are we going to start playing shit? And
it was... And then Marinkovic pops up and scores that goal.
And then you think it's all over. And then it wasn't all over.
Boats, I mean, your memories of Saturday night are kind of like Homer's night out where there's a couple of scenes
missing. There's a lot of scenes missing, mate. Not just the one. There's a lot. Yeah, it's more as that piano at the end. But no, I...
So while watching it from your house, lying on your side at home on
the... No, I was at the pub still. Christmas party was still happening. But yeah, it was a blurred viewing. But geez, it was exciting to watch. We actually looked decent after that first goal in. Like, everyone's just thinking, here we go, this is going to be the first of many. But no, they pulled their heads in and, yeah, everyone worked their socks off. So, brilliant result.
Mine was a blurred viewing too, because I stole it off the internet.
Yeah. and a shout out to Josh Mitchell.
He picked it.
Made me look like an idiot. So,
made all of us look like idiots.
So, Josh, credit to you. Well picked.
Some good bookies over in Hong Kong, so I think...
Oh, there must be.
Yeah, speaking of bookies, Glenn, how much money did you lose on the Jets?
I donated $20 this week. I had a tenner on Perth to win and keep a clean sheet, and I also had a tenner on Perth minus one, so to win by two clear.
You'd rather lose the money, though.
That's it. That's why if I bet on the Jets game, it's always against the Jets.
If I could pay $20 each week for us to win, I would do that.
No, it doesn't work like that. Yeah, no, but my theory is if I bet against them, and they lose, at least I've got some money to drown my sorrows. And if they win, well, everybody's happy. So,
well, there were plenty of doubters during the week, and we were among them. And Mark Jones and the boys really stood up and proved everyone wrong. And speaking of Mark Jones, we'll now cross over to his press conference, thanks courtesy of Fox Sports.
Mark, congratulations on the win. How does
that
feel?
Of course, it's a good gig when you win, and it's a tough one when you don't, but very pleased with the way we played football today.
Yeah, the performance in particular is just amazing, especially that first half, so many chances, and could have easily been 4 or 5.
Yeah, I think we had 11 clear chances in the first half, and we probably had half a dozen in the second half. You know, towards the end there, we definitely should have wrapped the game up. But pleased with the way we play. We've tried to play football, and it's obviously not rocket science. You get a couple of your stronger players back in the side, and it helps us.
Yeah. Did you sense that this was coming at all?
Yeah, of course. We've tried to play football in every game, but it's very difficult. And, you know, it goes without saying, you lose five or six players out of your starting lineup, that's going to hurt anyone. And never alone, you know, what we've been through in the last 6-7 weeks. So I'm very pleased.
Is it sweeter for the club because you've experienced so much pain with glory over the years?
No, not really. Just come here and want to win. And the history had really nothing to do with it. We wanted to play football, and just was important for us to get a result, and we got that today.
Who in particular really impressed you?
You saw that. It was very hard to go through the whole squad. I don't think anyone played poorly, and that's what we're asking, that everyone did their job and a little bit more, and I got that today, and like I said, very, very happy.
You mentioned the adversity you've been through this season. Can you give us more of an insight into how much of an effect that's had?
No, I think, like I said, it's not rocket science. You take five or six starting players out of any team in the world, and your team's going to struggle. And you know, we haven't got into games and not tried to play. We still tried to play with whatever team we've had on the park. It is what it is. And, you know, we haven't been beaten badly in any game, and we've had opportunities in every game. And we just haven't executed or kept the ball in tight areas at times, and we did that well today, and the results showed.
What do you think the team can achieve at this point on now?
We just want to keep playing the same way, and if we keep playing the same way, then I think we'll, hopefully it'd be nice to sneak into the six, but at the moment, game by game, and we get two or three more players back next week, and as we get our full squad in, and then in the January window, we might look to strengthen the squad a little bit further, so it makes us a little bit more than competitive if we get, add to our squad depth.
Yeah, who's due back next week?
Hopefully at this point it looks like Morton will be back in, perhaps Lachlan, and certainly definitely Bogues will be perhaps right to start the game.
Hard to fit them in though, obviously.
Like, it'd be hard to drop people after tonight, so that's what it's supposed to be. You know, that's the dilemma of most of the teams in the league, and we haven't had that luxury. And we've copped a bit of flack for the way we've played, but like I said, it's for me it's ridiculous in terms of expecting us to play at the top of our game with so many players not being available.
Okay, So that's Mark Jones. And Bodes, we'll get into looking at the team lineup. Nick Cowburn, Marley Lay, Ben Kantorovsky, Labby Haliti, and Ian Fife all dropped out of the squad for various reasons, being, I guess, performances, contracts, well, time with the club running out, injury, as well as injury. And we saw Mullen, Vujica, Naboo, Poljak, and Klute come in. Well, some of these changes were forced, others weren't. What do you think Jones was looking to achieve from the team with them?
I think he more or less went my suggested setup from the week before. He went mobile. He decided that the way we're going to do this is by having, I would say, fitter legs who are going to run all games sort of thing and be mobile and provide an option. And look, the decision, I think, to play Devante Klute at the point was masterclass. He basically was the link between the attacks and basically gave Houle and Naboo freedom to do what they want, really. So, yeah, well done by Mark Jones. And I thought the inclusion of Daniel Mullen was huge. I thought he was excellent. And in saying that, I didn't think there was a problem with Ian Fife. I thought he did well in the time he was here. But, geez, you can just tell Daniel Mullen, fitter legs, knows the system. Yeah, much better. Improved performance.
Glenn, you touched on Marinkovic's goal, very early goal there. The first 5 minutes, though, the Jets had a few chances and really could have taken the lead within the first minute or so. But that goal pops up. Who do you think Mark Jones and the coaching staff would have been looking at as culpable for conceding such an early goal? Because Marinkovic has popped up completely unmarked.
Yeah, I think you'd have to lay the blame at either one of the defensive midfielders, Poljak or Ugarkovic, not tracking back deep enough. But in saying that, it was sort of a broken play. And I mean, the goal was well taken. That's no doubt about that. It was a really good goal. But I don't think that was one of the first and only forays that they had into our defensive third. So, like Emma alluded to before, I was just happy that it didn't the heads didn't drop for the players, and they kicked on with it and continued on with the game plan, which was working so well early on.
So the team didn't drop their heads. Emma, do you think that was down to the fact that wholesale changes were made to the team and a number of people were returning who hadn't been involved in some of the previous poor performances, I guess? Did that make a difference?
I think a good goal can be a good early goal can not necessarily be a bad thing, because it's easier to put those early goals out of your mind and move on. If it's a goal a minute before half time or 10 minutes before half time, that's going to fuck with your head. But if it's early on, you can just go, right, act like it's a new game, move on.
And it wasn't as though we were playing bad when they scored as well. Like, we were actually in a decent bit of form, so they were able to, like, more or less just to wash it off and keep going. So
yeah, absolutely.
And they get, and Glenn, they kept coming, and they started to create, the Jets created a lot of chances.
Yeah, it was a 26 shots.
26 shots,
yeah. There you go.
Is that more shots than all the other games?
Probably combined. It'd
just about be it, yeah. I reckon.
But no, do you know, I think that was a result of the defensive press that was super evident from the get-go. Stephen Ugarkovic was stood out for mine in that regard, as well as Katrumbas. Johnny Katrumbas was absolutely on fire. He broke everything up, even at the halfway line. He didn't wait for it to get back to his sort of quote-unquote natural position. He saw an opportunity and he took it. He put himself there to break up Perth's rhythm, and it worked wonderfully. And that's off the back of that is where a lot of our attacks came from. So
here's the question. After the last couple of performances, is Katrumbas unlucky to be pushed out this week with Bugard returning to full fitness? Or does he keep his position?
I'd still start him and use Boogs. I'd put him back on from a sub. I wouldn't start him straight up from such a long injury.
See, I always think that it's a very difficult thing to change a centre back during the game. You've got a partnership that's set there. You're not really going to be replacing them because of fitness. You're looking to replace them from a tactical point of view. If he is dropped, it's certainly going to be harsh, but I think that the Jets, and I would expect that the Jets would be handling this in a good manner to say, mate, this isn't because of your performances, this is because this is the Jets' captain. He is probably our highest paid player, and he's the experienced player. So, Les, now you've had your run, learn from these experiences, your run will come again.
But this is something I worry about, that we could easily screw ourselves, because that's the best they've played all season, I would say. And then Boogs will be fit next week. Maybe Nobby's fit next week.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to mess with what worked just to put the more experienced players back in?
I think it's only a Boogaard thing, and the fact that he's the captain, and you know, money shouldn't come into it, but yeah, he's one of our highest paid players. So to have that on the bench is a bit of a, it might be seen as a waste. But
I'd start him off the bench for the first game, though.
Potentially, I was surprised they didn't see him on the bench for this one. I thought it might have been too early. So, but it's good thing that he wasn't required. They left him on the bench, and you know, he's got another week to sort of work his way back. I don't know. I think Gutrumbas would understand. I also think he's versatile. I believe that he's another defensive midfielder. Naturally, yes, he's done well in the centre back position, but he can also provide that cover now, especially with who knows how long Kantorovsky might be out for with his niggling knee injury.
Well, I'm worried this could be another Ryan Kidder. Ryan Kidder comes as injury replacement, Adelaide boy, and season finished, and Adelaide will have him back. Gutrumbas is an Adelaide boy. Who's to say that...
I definitely need some help in the defensive stocks, don't they?
Who's to say they won't swoop in at the end of the year again, so...
There's nothing to say that, but I guess the thing would be that Mark Jones is the player, is the coach that he had during his time with the Adelaide Youth, so we would have that on our side as such, and... So that could potentially be an opportunity there. But if I can just get touch back onto Boogaard as well, before his injury, he was by far our standout player as well.
He was.
I don't think we can discount that. Not only he's in goal-scoring form as well, he's still now equal with Oggies and Andrew Hull as our leading goal scorer this year.
Yeah, the Oggies.
All right. Well, I just mentioned him then, but great segue, David. Well done.
you flatter yourself, mate.
Oh, mate, I do. This is real professional as well. Andrew Hull. The Jets, because of the number of shots that they had, Bodes, they had a number of set pieces, corners in particular.
Yep.
The commentators were, I guess, pointing out that Hull was a bit inconsistent with his corners.
That was nicely put. Inconsistent.
Well, he's consistently terrible.
Yeah.
What do you think, mate?
And the sad thing is, they continued after he scored his goal, and so I guess it doesn't seem like it's a confidence thing now. It could be purely a technical thing. Surely someone could be whipping him better crosses. Look, if you can't try to be whipping the ball in at 100 km every time and it's going to work, just loop it in there, like, just see what happens, I guess, sort of thing. If the keeper catches it, well, at least it made it past the first defender for him to get to it. But yeah, the amount of times the first defender was clearing and heading it out with his foot or head, it was just, oh, it's frustrating.
I was just gonna say, no poise. Like, he doesn't have that, he doesn't have the clarity to stop and think about what he's doing. It's like he's just wailing it in.
Okay.
It's strange because I remember the first few rounds, his delivery was spot on. For the most part, I thought it was really good.
Yeah, it seems like he's
spot on.
It seems like he's overdoing it. That's what it feels like. And the funny thing is, besides the set pieces, he was actually okay on the weekend.
Yeah,
he
didn't do too bad.
Yeah.
Me personally, I'd like to see. I mean, we've seen Marlowe Leigh have a bit of a go, and that different person taking the free kicks just provided a different trajectory. And he actually took quite decent set pieces. I wouldn't mind seeing Wayne Brown have a go.
And it is worrying.
He's the smallest player in the field.
He can shoot.
Using the same person all the time gets predictable. And it also makes them a target as well. Take them out of the game, and then suddenly the second choice person has to take corners. So,
well, the first goal, if we look at the Jets' goal, it came from that high press that you mentioned earlier, Glenn. Klutz won the ball back, fed it out to the left to Stevie UG, who's then put a lovely weighted pass through to Andrew Hull, one-on-one with the keeper, and he slotted it home past...
Didn't he play Devante Klute, and Klute turned and fed him?
That might have been the case as well.
I think that's what happened. Sorry, mate. No, you're doing a good job.
No, that's good. That's good. Yeah, it's all fine.
I'm fairly
sure. You want a host? That's fine.
in my own home, may I admit?
Klute was definitely there.
Emma, good goal.
Yes.
It was a very good goal.
All goals are good. And Glenn, Hull's first goal from open play.
Yeah.
His previous two
were
from set. Yep. So his first one was from the spot against Sydney. And the second Moses is choosing himself.
to Andrew.
And the second one was from the free kick.
Yeah. Yeah. No, really good. I think what it came down to was he didn't have time to think about it too much, and he hit it with his weaker foot, his left foot. And it, yeah, it was a good finish. And I'm sure you'll come to it later on. He had a few more chances that he might have done better with. But been a few shakes of the head around the table here, so
take that cheers, buddy.
Yeah. So look, yeah, you can't take the goal away from him. He did very well. It was good to see him, and obviously a lot of emotion on his face and his celebration and that. So very relieved, and he's hoping it opens the floodgates for him.
Emma, the midfield in particular this week, the press was back. Jugarkovic, Poliak, I guess Brandon Clute almost played as a front two, so we almost set up as a 4-4-2 to match Perth's formation. What do you think the difference was this week? I mean, we haven't seen that press for a couple of weeks now, and all of a sudden it's back.
I don't know what happened in training this week, but it's like Poljak and Jugarkovic both got their sparks back at the same time. Like, they've both been lacking that spark, and we were always talking last season about how they go well together, and then they weren't going well together because one of them or both of them had lost something, and then Poljak was out, and suddenly they're both back in form at the same time, and I think that has made a huge difference.
Glenn, Jugarkovic in particular, his cross-field switches of play allowed Bujica and Hoffman to really get forward, which we'll talk about in a minute with the fullbacks, how they bombed on more than I've seen in the last couple of weeks.
Definitely.
But Stevie was just on fire.
Yeah, and I said it last season when he first came, that he's got some of the best passing range that I've seen since Matt Thompson and even Nick Carl, for example, in a different position. But, I thought he was wonderful. Back to Emma's sort of point on both of the defensive mids, Poliak and himself, they were obviously much more aggressive. I'm not sure what changed this week. I'm happy about it. I think it might be an actual directive that's been handed down for this match just gone. And long may it continue. Let's hope there's not too much tinkering that goes on, because it's worked. We know it can work against almost any team. If you put any team under pressure, ourself included, they're going to cough the ball up. So
I've just been proven wrong as well. While you are having saying your piece, Bodes has brought up the video of Jugarkovic playing in Clute, who plays in Hull. So thank you very much for correcting me, Bodie.
No problem, mate.
For that, I'm going to target you with this question. Did you see that something I picked up was that Poljak was almost man-marking Roston Griffiths for a fair bit of that match?
Yeah, and that proves how good our press is, because Roston Griffiths is a defensive midfielder, which proves how high we were. So, yeah, no, I did notice that. And on the replay, may I add, not the original watch, because I was a bit blurred, but no, I did pick up on that. And the other thing I just want to pick up, Glenn, it's pretty much we were all more or less playing the Pep Guardiola way. He said if he had his way, he'd play 11 midfielders. Well, we paid 8 midfielders, did we? Oh, yeah. Well, sorry, 7 midfielders. Mm-hmm. More or less. So
more or less.
If you want to count, I could almost count Hoffman as a midfielder, because that's where he started his career. So
he started as a striker.
Oh, sorry, he did too. So there you go.
You're even now.
One each. All right. Good segue, Bodes, into Hoffman. And the fullbacks, as I mentioned to Glenn before, the fullbacks were really pressing. They spent a lot of the time in the attacking half, whereas against Sydney last week, they really got scared when they went over the halfway line. Emma, was that a reason for our success? Just those extra bodies in the attacking half?
It has to be part of it, for sure. I'd love to know how far Hoffman ran that game. Like, that's got to be further than he normally runs. And I think it was Glenn who said while we were watching the game, it was making Hull look lazy because he was literally lapping him up the field. And it's just phenomenal to see that kind of effort up and down the sides. And at one stage I thought Hoffy had pulled something. I don't know if you guys noticed. He was playing with his groin a lot. And I was worried that he'd pulled something, but I think
he probably pulled it later.
Oh, God.
but yeah, I thought he was injured, but I guess something just needed adjusting. But he was playing with the groin a lot, but I'm glad it's not an injury.
And Emma's gone as red as some of the Liverpool pictures that I've got here.
Sorry,
Oh, it's just thinking about Hoffy's groin.
That's the man cave. It brings out the best.
I guess... Oh, jeez. I guess we can't gloss over it. We had to talk about Perth.
Oh, crap.
They were abject, I'd say, to say the least. There was zero energy in their play. And, Glenn, do you think that they switched off maybe after their first goal?
Yeah, potentially. I know Taggart got subbed off at half-time, yeah, but I can't remember him touching the ball in the first half. Honestly, he was. I'm not sure if it's just because he's just come back from injury and he might not have been 100% right.
It was a secret mission. Well done, Tag.
But apart from the close up before kickoff on Taggart and the commentators talking about his time at Newcastle and how he remembers it fondly, that was all I saw of him. He was nowhere to be seen. But he wasn't the only player. There was a lot of that going on for Perth, and they were, you know, you can understand that the coaching staff will be absolutely. Mystified as to what happened.
The amount of quality players in that team, it's so hard just to put it down to the Castro.
It can't be because
Keo, Williams,
Risden back.
Risden, like, these are soccer or international players with quality, with playing in leagues that are much higher than the A-League, so...
Risden in particular was caught out of position quite a fair bit.
Naboo who pantsed him for the goal, wasn't it?
Oh, I was just about to say, do you think that he's got a case of the Fernando Torreses where he changes his hair and he turns to shit?
Who's Fernando Torres?
He's that bloke just over there, up there, mate.
No, isn't that a reserve Liverpool game, is it?
Emma, I'll ask you the question. Did Josh Risden have a case of the Fernando Torreses where he cuts his hair and he turns to shit?
I think that's a possibility. And, you know, I don't believe in superstitions, but I know players believe in superstitions, and maybe he should not have cut his hair. His hair looks stupid.
Let's not argue with the Greeks. Samson's power came from his hair. It must be what you know, the man bun of Risden.
Risden's not a Greek name.
Joshua is. That's Hebrew.
Look, even the space in midfield, the time and space that the Jets were afforded. I mean, yes, me personally, I think we played well, but I'd also like to say, you know, there was zero press, zero energy from Perth. They allowed the Jets to do what the Jets have allowed other teams to do to us at times this year, which we've castigated them for. You know, we've just allowing them to almost be witches' hats and walk through them.
The second half was a lot different. The Perth came out and obviously pressed. It wouldn't be hard, but they did press a lot more than they did in the first half. And that made it more difficult, and that's probably why there was no change to the score after that. So, you know, obviously things changed at half-time. Glory have gone in and by all accounts, torn strips off the wall with their half-time speech. And they came out and they played a lot better, but still wasn't good enough. They still didn't provide much attacking threat, as you've spoken about, and it was very... Yeah, unexpected. As Bodie was speaking about earlier, they've got so much firepower, so much attacking intent in their side in individual parts. It just wasn't clicking for them. I'm not complaining about it because we get the 3 points, but it was very strange.
Like, what I would give to have Andy Keogh and Adam Taggart as our two up front strikers.
I could have put a word in at Wolves, mate. We could have got Keogh.
Yeah, could have.
Keogh playing off Naboo and Hull.
He'd have a field day.
Exactly. I mean, and Andrew Naboo, Emma, you talked about him early and your crush that you have on him.
I'm blushing again.
Still.
He makes me blush too.
Is it a case with Naboo? I mean, again, we were pretty poor the last couple of weeks he's been out. No Naboo, no Jets.
I said when he got hurt that we wouldn't win another game till he came back.
Why did you say that?
We didn't win another game till he came back. I did this with my mind.
And all the punters wish that they had listened to that pod.
But he just has an energy that the rest of them don't have. I read a review of the game that I think they called him, I'll blush again saying it, a pile driver. And I was just like, that it's so true though. He just smashes it up the side and he runs through people and he's twice as fast as the guy marking him. If a little bit of that can rub off on Andrew Hall on the other side, it would be incredible.
Glenn, am I crediting him with the assist for Smuljic's goal? Or
Smuljanovic, is that
it? Smuljanovic, him too?
Yeah.
It's a brilliant cross.
Yeah.
It's a cracking header.
Yeah, no, it is.
It'll be interesting to see if it's in the goal of the month.
I think the real credit goes to whoever was standing behind him, though, because he obviously panicked about the pressure behind and went, if I don't get a header, they will.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, it can happen to any player, and it's some of the best goals you'll ever see are own goals. Just because usually they're trying to wallop it over the line or clear it way.
We've had some crackers, Canners and Durantes, both absolute wonder goals.
Brilliant. But
Alan Walsh's was good.
Yeah, he basically just had to stand there.
It's the quickest own goal I've ever seen. That's for sure. In terms of being on the pitch.
Yeah, I don't think you could begrudge the Jets that goal. Like we were pressing. We were always probing in the box and making these chances, some of which should have been converted anyway, should have been a much more comfortable margin than the one.
Yeah.
But I don't think anybody would begrudge us that 3 points that we've taken from over there. So, Emma would like to say something.
No, me. I kind of would begrudge us the points because everyone always says, and all the commentators and everyone said when that goal happened, oh, the Jets deserved that because they've had so many chances. And chances aren't goals. If they're not making the chances into goals, then they don't deserve it. Like, okay, yes, maybe we're owed a little bit of luck because we've had a whole lot of bad luck and a whole lot of shit referees and whatever. I'll pay that. But I won't pay that we deserve an own goal because we had 26 chances and could only put two of them away. Or one of them away.
Yeah. No, fair point. I'll take that.
Do you think Bode's chances, we talk about Hull missed one-on-one in the 42nd minute. He missed a header. Mullen missed a header.
Can you skip me for that one? Because I'll blow a head gasket. This roof isn't tall enough
for me. Do you think that's something that James will be disappointed with? It's something that he's going to take away from
I think it's the match. The players who miss the chances on my memory are not players who I would consider clinical. Hull, Klute, missed a few. I think Poliak ended up with a couple of... you wanted players like Wayne Brown and Naboo to fall into these chances. They seem to be falling into less clear. I think if someone made a mention of it, if Nordstrom had fallen into a couple of those chances, I think you find the score might have been different. Mm. So, yeah, look, it's just... I don't know if they do shooting practice. I assume they do shooting practice at training. Obviously, they might need to get a striking coach in.
At least Klute hit the woodwork, though. That's more respectable than going straight into Reddy's ready way.
Yeah, that was awful.
7 yards wide of the goal from Poliak.
Yeah.
But that was his... We make excuses. That was his weaker foot, but professional footballers should have a decent weaker foot on
them.
But I still say the same thing for Naboo, even though I think he did make the difference and I am in love with him. I think he should have had one of those goals in as well.
Yeah, at least with Naboo shots on memory, on most of me forced to save out already. And that's the one thing we should say as well. Liam Reddy did have a very good game. So
best game of his career.
Yeah, 12 years of saving. He was probably pissed.
Wow, pissed off.
Yeah,
here's to you, Liam.
Yeah, here's to you, Liam.
Here's
to your next flight to New Zealand.
He was burring up at the whole team after the game, on the pitch.
And rightly so, though. He was getting no help from anybody.
The one thing I will say, going back to Naboo as well, and the thing I like most, he just gets on the ball. You don't see many wingers wanting to get on the ball inside their own half. He relishes that stuff. He wants to get the ball and run over the half and run 30 metres. I'd love to see Andrew Hull do that. I feel as though Andrew Hull only likes getting the ball in that final third to do his match. And look, he's a good player when he gets on the ball, but Naboo just wants to get on the ball, and that's a good asset to have.
It's like the difference between a rich kid and a poor kid. Andrew Hull is waiting for it to be given to him. Andrew Naboo is going out to
get it. Yeah, goes out and gets it, yeah, 100%.
There's lots of good titles for the episode coming out, dude.
Please Andrew don't embarrass me.
Andrew Naboo is a poor kid.
All right, we've skipped over it long enough, and we'll get on to our front two, Devante Klute and Wayne Brown. Glenn, I mean, Klute, it's making it almost impossible for James to pick him in the starting lineup.
he's doing everything right. I mean, what more can you ask from him? He's a little dynamo. He's just in and around, nipping at everybody's heels, and he starts that press from the front as well. I did notice that Brown was feeding off that as well. He was, he always gives effort, but I think he was a bit more comfortable further up the field and not having to clean up the mess so much as he has been. So, yeah, I thought they worked brilliantly in a partnership. It's going to be very difficult to see what happens when a few players like Nordstrom, like Coco, come back from injury and how they slot back into the team or if they slot back into the team at all.
And I guess it would have been difficult for the Victory defenders having two smaller, nippier players in and around them, continually swapping position.
The big players?
Smaller, nippier.
The
Victory Perth.
2-1 to Bodes.
Oh,
yeah, I believe they played Western Sydney, mate. correct me if I'm wrong.
The Victory had no chance of marking Cook from the other side of the country.
Yeah, in Sydney. Hey, well, right, have a best getting a hat trick. Perfect hat trick.
Oh, no.
Header, left, gone
from,
right.
We've gone from her crush to her foe.
Don't look at me, you brought this on.
And nothing nice to say about the Victory. Anyway, score all the goals you want.
So, Clute and Brown are giving the glory defenders a hard time. And
they're giving people.
I really think that they showed a lot of bravery because they were putting their body on the line a lot as well because Duncan was playing out to them. They were challenging.
That's tough. The high ball. And that's tough. And I said at the start of the pod, and I'm sticking it with it, Clute was the link up between everything. Whenever he got the ball, he was playing back to goal as well, which was quite fantastic. Like the ball for the goal, it was more or less the big number nine feeding Hull in. So. Credit to Clute. You can obviously tell his touch is very good, and you can see why Brisbane were upset to lose him. So, look, I'm with Glenn. I'm with Emma. I think he's got to continue to start. And at this point in time, I think Nobby should be settled with a place on the bench coming back this week.
Especially at his age and coming back from an injury, I don't think you could feel too bad about that.
And look, it's not a bad option to have Nordstrom and Coco coming off the bench when they return, or vice versa. Like we're starting to get options back, and it's good. Like. Last week we go into the game all negative because you don't know where the goals and the chances being created are going to come from. And now players coming back, Clute has a good game, Brown has a good game, Naboo comes back. You think, well, hang on, maybe we have got a shout for this season. So it's amazing what one result can do. And the most important thing is we back it up this week.
Yeah. Wayne Brown, Emma, has come under a bit of pressure. Not so much in the media, but I guess through fans voicing their opinions on social forums for his play of recent times. But it's the first time that we've seen Devante and Brown, and I'm probably wrong with this, but the first time that I recall seeing them together since the Adelaide match in round one. Brown just looked a different player this week.
Yeah, again, I think something's happened in all their attitudes this week. They've had a real attitude adjustment, and I think maybe the pressure is off Brown a little bit with Boogs coming back. I think he's stepped up into the captain's role, and that has got to mess with your brain a little bit more in terms of the pressure, so maybe knowing that he will be relieved of that soon left him more open to actually put his head in the game. But yeah, they were a great pair. I couldn't fault them as a pair. And if Jones breaks up that partnership without a reason, I'll be pretty unhappy.
Okay. And I'll just make mention of it before we get on to any final thoughts from everyone here tonight. But Christian Brymora, player number 147 for the Jets in the A-League. Another local junior coming through. It's good to see Glenn, another local junior in the team.
Yeah, for sure. And not only that, I thought he provided a point of difference, and I thought he did really well in the limited time.
He nearly had a goal.
Well, he passed it off. He did that, and he did everything right. Passed off to Hull, who fluffed it late on. But you know, he did everything right. If he'd had the shot and missed it, people would have called him greedy. But he did everything right. He laid it off to a player in a better position. It didn't end up in a goal, but I think that's got to do wonders for his confidence. And it's probably the best debut that I've seen in Perth since Pinto.
He did better. he did more in the few minutes he was on.
Was Pinto Perth?
I think it was Perth.
Oh, I forgot it was Adelaide.
Oh. Dravandi was Perth.
I'm on fire tonight. This hassle sloth is providing wonder.
All right, well, I was going to get to it at the end of it, but you might as well do it now, Bodes. Talk to us about the hassle sloth.
Very strong. yeah, very strong. The
I had a bit of a taste. Did you get any toffee in that?
No, I didn't get any toffee in it, but the hops are very apparent. And what else will I pick up? It's the darkest Indian pale ale I've ever had. There you go. Mm.
Okay.
Yeah, darkest Indian pale ale.
And a score?
Three out of five. Because okay. I do like IPAs.
Yep.
But I definitely would not have that as like a nightcap.
Can you imagine a case of that?
Yeah. Oh god.
You take a.
To start your day off. Not a bad start, but yeah, no, as your nightcap, God, no.
Okay, thanks, Bodes.
You're welcome, mate. Two segments.
Emma, any final thoughts on the match?
I'm glad that it happened, and I hope it happens again.
Not in 11 years.
Yeah.
not another 11 years. Glenn, we've got to back it up this week against Adelaide. Adelaide was smashed on the weekend against Perth. Against Brisbane. Corrected myself before you got in. Boats. But we got to back it up.
Oh, 100%. And I think Jones will be the first one to say, if we go back before this week, the only game we'd won was against Brisbane at home. And what a win. And we were singing their praises then. But that would have meant nothing if we'd not repeated that for the rest of the season.
Mm.
I think the same mindset has got to go along with this victory on the weekend. That's 3 points. That's great. Fantastic, 11-year drought ended. But it will come to naught if we don't kick on with it, take this newfound belief and confidence and hopefully a pressing style into each and every game from here on out. Otherwise, yeah, it quite literally will mean nothing. It'll just be a blip on the radar when we're looking at the foot of the table.
Yeah.
Bodes, anything to add?
No, I think Glenn summed that right. If we're... It's only going to be remembered as great if we can back it up this weekend.
Okay, time for that part of the podcast. Man of the match, Glenn.
Mine. I was just absolutely just glad to see the range and accuracy of passing from Steven Ugarkovich again. It's what I remember from his when he first came over almost a year ago now, last season. That stood out to me then, and it stood out to me again on the weekend. It's just unreal how he can bring players into the game from one side of the pitch to the other, and just his defensive work as well. I thought it was fantastic. Easily his best game of the year.
Bodes.
Devante Clute, purely for the link up between the other three forward guys, so yeah.
Emma?
I'm not sure we've ever all had different man of the matches, but I'm going with Andrew Naboot.
I'm also going with Andrew Naboot.
Tiebreaker!
Okay, before we wrap up the pod, just one little piece of news that's come out today. It was spoken on the Herald website, I think it was Sunday, but Radovan Pavicevic has left the Jets after 3 seasons. He made 17 appearances, 1 start, and 16 as a substitute. His only goal was against Brisbane as a substitute as well.
On the same night as the Alan Welsh own goal, I believe.
Yes, it was. So, Pavicevic leaves, and that's, I guess, one of the three that have gone. So, opens up an opportunity, possibly for the Jets to recruit. And they've been linked with the names that we spoke about on Thursday's pod. Okay. Emma, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thanks.
Bodes?
Cheers.
Glenn?
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
No worries. And thank you, everyone, for listening. If you'd like to find out more, you can have a look at the episode notes where you can find everyone's Twitter handles and the handle that Bodie will have made up for today's, which is @LiveTasting.
That's sick, David.
You can also find us on Stitcher, and you can find us through iTunes, and we appreciate anyone who jumps on there and gives us a rating as well. Hope you've all enjoyed this live podcast, and we'll be back again with you shortly.
Enjoy Rogue One, Ferns.
Oh, I can't believe you did that recording for us.
That was impressive. That was really impressive. That's like almost as good as like saying getting like someone from The Simpsons to like give us a message to the thing. That's up there.
Yeah. Well, I'm down, Benjamin.